Most backyard birders don't know that many of the birds at their feeders are born in Canada's northernmost forest, a watery Arctic breeding ground called the Boreal. One-third of the birds in North America owe their existence to the Boreal, where NPR's Elizabeth Arnold leads this National Geographic radio expedition.
Dawn in Canada's boreal forest is the audio equivalent of time-lapse photography. Starting with a single bird, it quickly crescendos to the point where it almost hurts. The boreal forest, named after Boreas, the god of the north wind, rings the top of the globe through Russia, Canada, Alaska, and Scandinavia. It begins where the temperate woods of oak and maple give way to fir, larch, birch, and aspen, and then surrender to the treeless tundra. While its counterpart, the tropical rainforest, has captured the world's attention, the boreal is largely unknown. Its beauty and diversity is subtle, but its birds tell the story loud and clear. Billions of them nest, hatch, and fledge their young here before flying south. At first light, bird expert Richard Thomas has agreed to take me, a novice, birding in Alberta's boreal forest near Lesser Slave Lake, a soggy sanctuary of trembling aspen, wild strawberries, and mosquitoes.
You have to spend time with the boreal. You don't have the giant cathedral-like groves you do in the west coast rainforest. But when you look at everything that's connected, it's just a marvelous place. I don't know, it's just got a hold of me.
Thomas, a Welsh-born scientist, is a bit of a rare bird himself. Floppy hat, pageboy haircut, pants tucked into his socks, and a spotting scope patched with duct tape. He calls himself a swivel head, as he's more intent on the sounds around him than much else, including my questions, like how he got here.
I got a job teaching geology, but eventually my... Perfect. Before I answer the question, we've got a winter wren singing. And that's a tiny bird that produces a very loud song, and here in Alberta, at least in the boreal. It's all growth dependent. Funnily enough, the same species in Britain occurs in my mum's backyard.
Birds like the winter wren come to the boreal for the insects and for the old growth, centuries of decomposing deadfall, a carpet on the forest floor.
I think I'm hearing a boreal chickadee, which is a gorgeous little bird, and they've been in decline now for several decades in Canada, so it's a species of concern.
Alberta's boreal is being carved up. Less than 10% of it now is in patches larger than a few square miles. Roads and pipelines, log yards and clear cuts have fragmented the forest. The evidence, both anecdotal and scientific, points to a drop in species and numbers of birds. But the understated boreal is also underappreciated, Thomas says, even by those who profess to love the birds that depend on it.
I don't know, a lot of birders go through this intense listing phase where your list is the focus of your life, and it's numbers, 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 and I'm amazed at the ecological illiteracy amongst birders. They don't seem to understand the equation, no habitat equals no birding, and no birders.
Just a few miles from this very spot, within a few feet of the entrance to the Lesser Slave Lake Provincial Park, is a pump jack, methodically drawing up oil from underground. And there are 13 other active well sites here, inside the park. And much of what isn't in the sites of the oil and gas industry is slated for harvest by the timber industry. More than 20% of the boreal has already been cut. Further east, we stop at one of Alberta Pacific's log yards. It's a mile long, huge by any standard. Several forests stacked up, side by side, ready to be shipped south and turned into newspaper and catalogs. Snipe swoop overhead as a giant crane moves 100 trees in a single motion, an apt metaphor for the pace of development here. We arrive at a field camp nearby, at Calling Lake. It's surrounded by logging, but it's an island of uncut forest, black spruce, poplars, and tamarack, where researchers from the University of Alberta, with some help from industry, have been studying the boreal for 11 years. They've been looking at different-sized patches or study plots of forest and the effects of habitat loss and fragmentation on boreal songbirds.
That's a magnolia warbler.
Oh, that I just heard?
Yeah.
Fiona Schmigelow is a conservation biologist who's led the study. Living here in a camp surrounded by electric wire to fend off bears, her researchers spend days simply standing in different-sized patches of forest, observing and recording what's going on. She takes me to one of the smallest patches.
It kind of feels like you're standing in a doily. You know, it's instead of, if you go into continuous forest or a larger patch, you really feel like, you know, you're just surrounded by forest. There's no sort of sense of being near an edge. When you stand in the middle of a one-hectare fragment, you can feel the wind blowing through you. It feels perforated.
What they've found is that a year after harvest and fragmentation, birds return to what's left, and there's a crowding effect. But then the following year, their numbers drop, and not only in the areas that have been cut, but also in adjacent forests left standing. The decline in some migratory bird populations is as high as 50%. Schmigelow believes no matter how you chop the boreal up, there's a clear need to keep some large areas intact.
You know, maybe people think, well, we still got so much, why should we be concerned about it? But that's why it's so great, because we still do have so much, and that we could keep a lot if we care enough about it now to make those decisions. So my hope is that we will.
The tiny white-throated sparrow is the bird most closely associated with Canada's boreal. Kathy Wilkinson is the director of the Canadian Boreal Initiative, which is working with an American group, the Boreal Songbird Initiative, to raise awareness. She says the white-throated sparrow's call is practically a Canadian anthem.
What does it say?
It says, "Oh, sweet Canada, Canada, Canada."
Do you think Americans think that's what the song is?
The American bird books call it, "Oh, Peabody, Peabody, Peabody," but we really think our version's better.
It may be distinctly Canadian, but it's also familiar at bird feeders in the United States. It's in decline in the boreal, and Wilkinson says that's not just Canada's problem.
There are two main reasons why Americans should care about Canada's boreal forest. The first is that a lot of the birds that breed here are birds that spend part of their life cycle in the States. If you want to see the continuation of Connecticut warblers, Tennessee warblers, Philadelphia vireos, you've got to care about Canada's boreal forest. The second reason is that the United States is the single largest consumer of products from the Canadian boreal.
Whether a white-throated sparrow that weighs less than a ballpoint pen can change the consumption patterns of millions of Americans and the management practices of Canada's most critical industries is a long shot. But then again, so is its flight every year from the boreal to our backyards. For Radio Expeditions, I'm Elizabeth Arnold.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR News and National Geographic. There are photographs from the trip at npr.org.